Today I want to share with you a couple of short chapters, some yediyos from a sefer called Oitzer Machmadim. Oitzer Machmadim already has three volumes. It's an anthology on minhagim halacha. It's mainly yediyos with a little lomdus, little halacha by Rav Nosson Gottlieb. I believe his name is Gottlieb, Rav Nosson Gottlieb. It has become a very, very popular series of svarim. He has in the third volume a couple of chapters on inyanim relating to the study of Torah. This week is Parshas Yisro, is Kabbalah Satorah. So as a topic, in Yoni Dioma, I want to share with you a couple of yediyos that I've come across in these chapters that deal with things related to the learning and the study of Torah. The first thing he discusses is a very big debate among the Poskim. What should your eker limud of learning be? A person only has that much time during the day, only that much time in his life to master areas of Torah. What should you spend your time on? Should you spend your time on halacha? Should you spend your time on agada, on a lumdis, to go learn three daf gemara? And I'll tell you a little joke. Start off with a little Muslim dechusa. There was a person that he didn't work a day in his life. Achanev asked him. He came to Shemayim and he said, "Nu, you didn't earn a livelihood, you were supported, so no, if you sat and learned, so let me see what you learned." Hashem says to the person, "Let me see what you learned already." No, so, no, let me give you a faher on the ganshas. So ganshas? I only learned in the yeshiva shemesachdas. You know, b'vakama, b'vabash, b'vatsia, kiddush, and gin, you know, noshim, a couple of yeshiva shemesachdas. Oh, okay, fine, okay. So I'll give you a b'china on b'vakama. Hashem opens up. No, tell me. Opens up. Daf Samach Zayin. Bavakam. Hi, Baruch Shleila. I went to the yeshiva, the classic yeshivas. We only learned the first, 5-6 daf in Islam. What do you want from me? Okay. So let me fahere you. So I can't fahere me on the whole thing. It's too much. And he goes to one step at. So still over a shtickle Torah. Tell me a shtickle Torah. I can't do that either. So Hashem says, "So what have you accomplished your entire life? What do you want me to test you on? You'll spend your whole life learning Torah." So the fellow says, I'll tell you what we'll do. Ribbono shel Olam, you say a shtickle Torah on the base in Bava Kama, and I'll slug it up. It's a bitter, bitter story, unfortunately. If your whole learning is only, I know enough, the whole learning is to be a critic and to shlug up, Rachmana Litzlan, if that's all you have to say for yourself, Achaneh Eshim, it's a sorry state of affairs. Okay. It's a bitter musser. It's a bitter musser. It's a bitter, bitter pill. Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in this story. Now, so here he has a debate among all the Gedolei Yisrael if a person should spend most of his time learning on inyanim of halacha. And now this really comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says, Sechta Kedush, and says, the Gemara is V'kavar ha'yar b'tarfan u'zakenim musubim ba'aliyas beis nitza belud. Nish'ala she'ele zo bifnehem. The following question was posed before them. Talmud gadol or maisa gadol? Forget about learning. What is it better for a person to do when it is? Should be an askan? Should go around and doing chesed? Should do gemilas chasadim? Or should a person devote himself to the study of Torah? So it's a machlokes. Nener b'tarfon v'yamar maisa gadol. It's better to devote your life to doing things. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'Omar Talmud Gadol. Better devote yourself to the study of. So if you have a choice, which path you can take in life to be a Talmud Chacham or be involved in Chesed, better be a Talmud Chacham. Nenu Kulam v'Amru. They took a vote. They all came together. And they paskin Talmud Gadol. it's better if you have a choice between the two. Of course, you have both. It's very good. You should try to do both. But we only can do one or the other. It's better to be a Talmud Chacham. Why? Sheha Talmud Nevi Lidei Maisa. Talmud, the study of Torah, will ultimately bring to the performance of Torah. Person devotes himself to Chesed, to Maisim Toivim, you'll have Chesed and Maisim Torah, but you're not going to have Talmud Torah. If a person devotes himself to the study of Torah, it's inevitable. That's just natural. It's natural that when you study Torah, you think, it causes you, it forces you to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, you have Siyata D'Shmaya. The purpose of learning this Torah is to be Mekayem the Torah. It's Talmud Nevi Lidei Maisa in one way or another. Now, this Gemara is very critical, because this Gemara over here, now, there are many places in the Mishnah Berurah, a lot of the Mishnah Berurah, and the Chavis HaLavavis, he cites, and many other Shulchan Aruch HaRav, those three in particular, they say that this Gemara is setting the tone of not only that learning is important, but what type of learning is important. And a person has a choice to learn, to devote himself to the study of Seder Taharos, versus the study of Seder Moed, or Arachayim, a person should focus on the Chiluk of Shulchan Aruch of Arachayim. Don't focus on Evin Ezer, Cheshem Mishpat, and don't study on the esoteric portions of Torah, because this Gemara is a critical Gemara. This Gemara tells us, really, there's a debate. Really, maybe we should learn Maisas better. A person should not spend so much time learning Torah. A person should spend his time being Oisik and doing Maisim Tov, doing Chesed, being Mekayim Mitzvos. Look for opportunities to do Mitzvos. The only reason why the Gemara says that Talmud is better than learning, than doing Maisim, is because she Talmud Nevi Lidei Maisa. But if you're going to occupy yourself in the Mektsoya, in an area of learning, that's not going to bring Lidei Maisa. You're going to be Oisik in Negoim. You're going to become a master of Masechta Negoyim. You don't even know Aleph base. You don't even know the basics of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You don't know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you're going to spend your whole day learning Masechta Negoyim, all of the difficult intricacies of Masechta Negoyim. It's not going to maybe Lidei Maisa, because of Zman Hazen, the laws of Negoyim do not apply.
Absolutely.
So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah in the Hakdama to the Mishnah Berurah, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav in his Hakdama, and the Chavis Halavavis, they take this Gemara, the Shtil Gemara, it's a very big Gerid in Sun, they tell you that you have to be very careful. When you learn Gemara, when you learn, you spend your time learning, first you start out learning things which will be fulfilled Talmud Nevi Lidei Maisa. Because in truth, it's not so simple that you should be learning and not doing Maisim. If it's Talmud, maybe Lidei Maisa, that's fine. But when your Talmud's not going to be maybe Lidei Maisa, you're putting yourself in a very difficult position situation. So that's the general. That's why the Mishnah Berurah, he only got around to writing a Mishnah Berurah on Aruch Chaim. That was his priority. He didn't get a, he, I think he said if he wishes, he could have also wrote a Mishnah Berurah. Can you imagine what Klal Yisrael would be today if we had a Mishnah Berurah on Cheshem Mishpat? Could you imagine? Mashiach would have been here by now. It would have been a different Klal Yisrael. If we had a Mishnah Berurah on Cheshem Mishpat and Evin Ezer. And Yoredeya, especially Yoredeya. What?
Lil Moed Almanas Lasas.
Now we should be aware that this is the mainstream opinion, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavis HaLevavis, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. However, the Chassam Sofer disagrees. Interesting to have these ideas. The Chassam says that's not necessarily so. Torah is not only Torah that is maybe Lidei Maisa. There's an even learning, the Chassam Sofer holds, even learning difficult sugyas that have nothing to do with halacha lemaisa will automatically change your outlook on life, and you'll do mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. It's not a din that you should learn a mitzvah that concludes, and this is the bottom line. Lasuke shmaitza liba de hilchasa. The Chassam Sofer, he disagrees. He holds learning sugyas, pilpul, and sugyas that are not going to come lidei aliba de hilchasa, the fact that your mind is occupied in the Torah HaKedosha will change your outlook in life, your frame of mind, your neshama, that you will be a person that wants to learn Torah, that wants to do maisim tov, and wants to do maisa. It's a chiddush from the Chassam Sofer.
When you have a choice, you're going to learn, and then you have a choice between learning,
yeah,
chesed to be done,
yeah,
And which one do you do?
So it depends.
It's not that your whole life is dedicated.
No.
At a certain point, you have to...
No, it means a priority. No, right, of course. As a person, you have to do mitzvahs. There are certain things that you have no choice, you must do. But it means, should you give up from your time that you'd otherwise spend learning to go out on a chesed project? I can go out. I would be in learning, but you know, I can go and work for... I don't need the money, but I can go work for an organization that does chesed. That we deliver, we support the poor, we do other things. What is your job in this world when you have a choice? So that's a separate issue. But now the question is, when you are sitting down to learn, what should your focus be? I just want to bring out these ideas that the Chassam Sofer is mechadesh, that he disagrees with this approach.
Chassam Sofer disproved in the last 200 years.
What?
These people are learning and they're not keeping.
So, well, the people that are learning even Arachayim are not keeping what it says in Arachayim. It's not a right either way. So you could say it's a right to the Chassam Sofer, that he to the Chassam Sofer.
Yes.
Okay, these are just ideas. Okay, let's go to what? It depends. I mean, every person, you can't generalize. Not everyone is cut out to learn, and not everyone is cut out to work.
He says, I have, as a child, I have ADD. So Nebuch, I had to go to work.
All right, don't take everything he says so seriously. All right, but. Okay, look, there's a story with two gevirim. They were sitting together, and they were complaining about their son-in-laws. So one gevir took a son-in-law and took him into the business. And the other gevir took a son-in-law, and the son-in-law sits and learns Yom V'Layla. So the one that has a son-in-law that sits and learns Yom V'Layla, the shver was complaining, yeah, he learns, but I support him. What kind of law? I have to go. Everything, I lock, stock, and barrel. Everything comes from me. So the other gevir says, shouldn't complain. I took an Adim and I took him into the business. And you know what he did to my business? Because of what he did, I lost millions of dollars. I took my Adim into my business and he destroyed the business. So be happy. At least he didn't take your son-in-law into the business. It would have been worse off. So you support him. It's not so terrible.
Brother, yeah. The manifestation of what you did went over now. I think, correct,
there are
two types of
kailu.
Son through the business.
One type of
kailu.
It's
a halacha
kailu. They learn, and then there are others that they learn and they teach the community.
Okay, that's out of town. They're being paid for that. That's like a C program or a community kailu. That's a different goal.
Nothing to do with the community.
It's a different goal. That's a job. They want to go out and recruit. They want to do kiruv. They do kiruv. So there's a technique. In order to do kiruv in a community, you have a kollel and they learn part time and they teach the people in the community part time and they establish a nucleus, a center for Torah, and hopefully it spreads. Okay, let's go to another topic. The next paragraph he talks about this concept that when a person indeed is learning, what should you learn? Let's put aside this idea, should you learn halacha, should you learn other things? There's a concept the Gemara says, Omar Rebbe, Ein Adam Loimed Torah Ella Mimakoim Shelibay Chafetz. Some of this stuff over here is a little bit more Kabbalistic. A person should learn what his heart desires. In fact, there's a Tosfos in Masechta Bava Metzia that says that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he arranged the Mishnayos, he arranged in the Masechtas, and there's so much Torah as to the Seder of the Masechtas. Why does Gittin come before Kiddushin, and why does this come here, will that come there? There's so many things written about to explain the Seder, but Tosfos says that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh taught the Talmidim, he did not teach. The Shiurim were not in the order of the way he arranged the Masechtas in Shas.
What the Talmidim wanted.
It's what the Talmidim wanted. An amazing concept. He was the codifier of Kol HaTorah Kula Shebal Peh, and yet when he taught the Talmidim Torah, it was in an entirely different order. Why? The Rebbe lo hoya loy made kiseder el kmo shahoy chafetzim ha-Talmidim. This is about Metzia and Daf. The very beginning of Bamasi, it seems. It seems the first Tosfos. Kedisa b'taisvus reish. All it says here is reish above a mitzia, and he has a quotation. Rebbe lo hoya loymed keseder ella kimo shohoyu chafitzim hatalmidim aval kishechibram al haseder chibram. When he put it in a reish, why? Because of this principle of Omar Rebbe. Rebbe himself said, Rebbe he was the mechaber of halacha. Ein adam loymed tara ella mimokam shalibay chafitz. Now some want to suggest there is an interesting story with the Alshech. The Alshech we know was an amazing darshan. Alshech was one from the first, you know, the Drush is a modern, relatively speaking, is a modern style of learning Torah discipline. Go look in the Rishonim, they were not into Drush. The Rishonim are very dry. That's not the Chassam dry. I don't mean to say in a negative way, but they're very, very pshat oriented. This idea of drush, of homiletics, is something which came about in a much later time. One of the masters of homiletics is the Alshech. The Alshech was a Talmud of the Arizal. The Alshech did not want to go into the discipline of drush. He wanted to be a mukubal. And we would never have the swarm of the Alshech. Who is the one that discouraged him? So the recorded story is the Arizal himself. The Arizal told him that in your previous Gilgal, okay, whatever all of this means, you were a baki in Kabbalah. That's already stored away. You already did that already. Done, been there, done that. Your tafkin in this world is to do something different, to do drush, to focus on a different approach to the study of Torah that will enhance, that will be a benefit for the masses. You have that talent, you have that koyach, don't become like me. Don't compete with me. I'm the Arizal, I'll take care, I'll conquer the Kabbalah, you focus on the drush. And this indeed is we say in Davin, someone wanted to make this interpretation, we say there's a tradition that at Matan Torah, all of the neshamas of Klai Yisrael were present at Matan Torah, and at Matan Torah, every neshama, there's something different about the Torah that appealed, that had a liking for every individual, and it was this thing which they were attached to, and they will makabel upon themselves. They want to master this section. In other words, the way he's explained over here is, people, the Klal Yisrael realized the Torah is too massive to conquer all. You can't conquer the; it's just too much. You have to select sections, and different sections have different appeal to different people, and every person, they saw something in the Torah that they liked, they appreciated, and they were makabel, they made a kabbal, the mushba v'olmei mihar Sinai. It's this specific section of the Torah that I enjoy, I want to master. When we live, that took place to all of the neshamas of Klai Yisrael, the Talmud Matan Torah. When we come to this world, we are mispalel the same chelkenu b'soira secha. What is chelkenu b'soira secha? The chelik of Torah that I feel connected to, that I feel this is my tafkid, this is what I, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it easy. How do you know what your tafkid is? If something, you like something, it appeals to you, this is what you should focus, this is what you should master. Now this idea, each one, everyone has their chelik. This is a very interesting idea, is an incredible chiddush. We have a halacha, mevatlim, this is from the Kotzker Rebbe. It says in the Gemara, mevatlim Talmud Torah from Mikra Megillah. Do I have the exact words over here of the Gemara? Here it is, Megillah Daf Gimel on Aleph, mevatlim Talmud Torah al Mikra Megillah. So the Kotzker Rebbe asks, why is the Bittul Torah? We're learning, we're spending over here every single day, an hour a day, learning the Megillah. Is that called Bittul Torah? I don't think so. So why is it called Bittul Torah? You go to hear the Megillah, they're going to lay in the Psukim, your mind will be flooded. Can you imagine 35 minutes you have to remember everything that we've learned over here in the last few months? Right? It's a little bit too much to be flooded with. Why is that called Bittul Torah? So the Kotzker Rebbe says, because it's not what you want to learn. That's not what you're interested in. If right now you're sitting down at home and you're studying a Daf Gemara, you're learning the Daf Yom, that's where your heart is. If your heart is in learning Nach, if your heart is in learning Halacha, your heart is in learning Zohar, whatever it is, every person is different. If this is what you're sitting and doing right now, obviously this is what you enjoy. To go learn something that you don't enjoy, it's Talmud Torah. For my next door neighbor, he has a whole bookcase full of those type of svarim. But I don't enjoy it. So for me, it's called Bittul Torah. That's how far the Kotzker Rebbe goes. You would say such a thing. You wouldn't say such a thing. If you enjoy learning Mishnayos and you don't enjoy learning Gemara, it's Bittul Torah to learn a Daf Gemara. If you would rather be learning Mishnayos, and you want, you have to go, I have no choice, my arm is twisted, learn Daf Gemara, it's Bittul Torah. So if you're learning, and now, oh, I have to go learn the Megillah, but Megillah is also Talmud Torah. Not for you. Because your heart is not, your heart, you have more. That ad kedei kach, that's how far the Gemara goes, that a person should learn Mash Shalibai Chofetz.
So,
that,
how would you tell Rabbi?
Well, chinuch is different.
In
chinuch habonim, obviously, a child in cheder has to be given the full experience. Obviously, in chinuch, you don't have a choice. But this idea, I just want to point out, he mentions here that this idea of ein adam loymei Torah ela mimakoyim shalibei chafetz applies not just to the miksoya, but also applies to the physical location. If a Talmud says, I learned better in this yeshiva, in this space medesh, he wins, and halacha he wins. Because you only will succeed, it's not just what type of study you want, but where. A person, and when it comes to, if you cannot force a person to learn in a location, in a yeshiva, that he does not want to learn in.
Well, with the Rebbe he doesn't like.
What?
With the Rebbe he doesn't like.
Same thing.
Or with the Rebbe, the kid doesn't like.
The Rebbe doesn't like one.
He doesn't like
the Rebbe. That is not because part of the success in halacha. It's not just a psychological idea that it's just not a good idea. It's halacha. Halacha is that the student over here is being put in yeshiva because he has to study Torah. You're being kind of this Talmud Torah. He's not going to succeed. According to halacha, you cannot force him to learn. And this idea also applies. It's very interesting. He applies this to tefillah. That we know that very few people say the entire davening from beginning to end. You from beginning to end, you start with Moda Ani, and then does everyone say Matovu, Yigdal Adon Olam, Karbanos, entire Psuki de Zimra, that you have no choice. And then when after davening is over, you can say all of these Tefillah Parshas Haman, and you can say Parshas Hayira, and the Shei Zechiros, the Ani Mamims, Tefillah Achra, Tefillah for Parnasa. So very few people say from beginning to end. I remember there was one person who says that this person, he says everything. He says, Murad Hatol, and Mashav Aruch Murad Agesh. He says every day, the entire Siddur, from beginning to end. I don't want to leave out anything. HaMelech HaKadosh, Nekel HaKadosh. No Sveikis. He say the entire Tefillah.
He says, Shosani Kutsono.
If a person feels this principle of the same way we apply the rule that a person should learn what he wants to learn to Talmud, it applies also to Tefillah. That if a person has a certain liking, a certain chavivas to the Parshas Haman, so go for it. Say it every single day. You have a chavivas for Kurbanos, you have an obligation. This is your chelik in tefillah. It's your chelik. Maybe not everyone has, maybe people have an excuse not to say Kurbanos. But if a person feels a special connection to the Akeda, to Kurbanos, to the Ketores, then it's your duty. It's your duty to say these things because this is your makam. This is the chelik HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. It's not just true when it comes to Torah, it's true also when it comes to tefillah. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Agada, the learning of Agada. It's the Chazal have taken note. The first have taken note that it's very bizarre that in Shas, there's in middle of sections of Halacha, Ravina and Rav Ashi have thrown in sections of Agada. Why? Why couldn't they compose a separate sefer for the Agada Sashas? Ein Yaakov just extracted. So why is it there? So he presents over here some very interesting reasons. Some we want to say is that Rabbi Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara for people of very high discipline. The Talmud, the study of the Talmud, was meant to be a rigorous, not the way we do it. We just learn a daf a day, whatever it is. It's not. It was meant to be a rigorous curriculum to study. And they, in their chachma, realized every so often you need a break. And it was done with a lot of chachma, that after delving into very difficult halachic sugyas as a way to give the mind time to relax, it was given a lighter agadic topic, which complemented the halacha as a technique to give revach lehispoinein dein inyin lein. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, we know we have in the parsha psuchos and stumos, and Chazal attribute great significance to the psuchos and stumos, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Navi, the greatest of all, also required revach lehispoinein bein inyin lein. Too much halacha is dangerous. You have to have revach lehispoinein bein inyin lein. That's one approach. What?
That's what
Knight said
there is.
Basketball. Another time of why we have okay, I actually forgot. Agadata. I think there's another reason how, okay, I don't remember, but let's just go further. Now, interesting that a lot of the Agadas are mysterious. We don't know, but it's still very important to learn not to skip. A lot of Gedolei Yisrael are very makbid not to skip. And in Yeshiva, when you learn Gemara, some Rashivas, they would skip around. The Chazon Ish was very makbid. When you give Shiurim, you're not allowed to skip. The Agadas are there. Part of the Seder is to learn, is to study the Divrei Agada. It's interesting that the Baal HaTanya was the Baal HaTanya. Now, what about the Ein Yaakov? Mm-hmm. Now, we know in this generation, if you remember back, that it's a dead issue. But when the Art Scroll first came out, if you remember, there were people that were opposed to the Art Scroll. I think Rav Shach was very...
English edition.
Rav Shach was very against the Art
Scroll.
Was against Rav Shach, and Rav Shach was strongly opposed to the publication of the Art Scroll Shadstein edition, and they had to send a delegation of a lot of Rosh Hashivas to convince him that's not what you think, it's not so bad. And at the end, he said, "I'm not fine. If the American Rosh Hashiva feel that this is something which is a good thing, I'm not gonna." And they were really afraid that he would have said something very negative, would have had a very big effect on what would have happened. But the end was, he didn't say anything, and it went forward. The first time we really find an objection to a translation of the translation of the Gemara was the printing of the Ein Yaakov. Okay, the Ein Yaakov was basically extracted as all the Divrei Agada from Shas, and then, I don't know how this goes back, maybe even 200 years ago. What?
No.
This goes back maybe even 200 years, where someone translated the Gemara, the Ein Yaakov, into Yiddish. And this created a major, major storm. Who's the one? When did this happen? This happened during Hisnagdus al Targum in Yaakov Loshen Yiddish. Yiddish.
Yiddish.
Okay, I don't have all the. He has a lot of different names, which to me don't. I don't know who these people are, but it appears. Yes, no, but this was worse. The reason
any kind of innovation.
The reason why this was a little bit worse was because Agada is much more difficult to translate than halacha. You see, halacha is, what's the halacha? What's the bottom line? What is the bottom line? What are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? You're dealing with concepts. Agada is symbolism. It's metaphors. These are esoteric concepts. By taking Divrei Agada and translating them, you are diluting the potency and the sanctity. And this, they felt, the Gedolei Yisrael of the time felt threatened at the time. Today, no, just the opposite. Today, Art Scroll, they have no problem publishing all the different Divrei Agada. They have a hard time.
Ramban, they left out all the
Kabbalah. But Halacha, they shy away from Halacha, because Halacha, like the Shulchan Aruch, they did not yet create an English Shulchan Aruch. Because when you get into Halacha, there are so many different opinions, so many different Menhagim, different opinions, you're getting into a lot of controversy. Okay, very quickly, let's finish another topic. There's another topic of a person shop, what's called the Oilam Haba Mesechta. What is the oil? Is a term that is invented. I don't know who invented this term. It's a very popular term. Every person should have an oilam haba mesechta, one mesechta which you master and you know inside out. And when you come to oilam haba, Chazal say, "Ashrei mi shebolikan v'talmudo biyodoi." So you would imagine that means that you come to the Olam Ha'olam Emes, you have Kol HaTorah Kula. That's not expected. But a person should fulfill this Maimer Chazal at least a little small amount. There should be one in Miktsoy of Torah where you can say, Achamev Esrim Yimakayim, Ashrei Mi Shebo Likan V'Talmudo Biyodo. You have mastered one Mesechta. The Mishneh Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, he brings down a story from a Medrash Tanchuma. This is the Medrash Tanchuma, the story where there was a person who only he learned Mesechta Chagiga. He mastered Mesechta Chagiga. He spent his entire life reviewing a billion times Mesechta Chagiga. And this person was an Ani V'Evyon. He lived nice and all alone. He was all alone and he died. And no one even knew that he died because he lived all alone. And all of a sudden, it comes to the community, a woman dressed in black, bitter tears, and she says, "My husband died. Please, come, help me. Bury him. Give him kavod. He was such a good person. He cared for me. He did this, he did that." And they never saw this woman, but this woman is in bitter tears. So they went, it was home, and they found he wasn't alive. They took him, they buried him, they masped him, and they dealt with him, b'derech kavod. And then the woman disappeared. And they asked the woman, "What's your name? Tell us your name." "And my name is Chagiga." It's a Medrash Tanchuma. "My name is Chagiga." Interesting name. You know what Chagiga? "And surely thereafter she disappeared." And the people searched, where is this woman? What happened to her? And it was answered, Ben Hashemayim, that this woman was Mesechta Chagiga. Medrash Tanchuma. This woman appeared in the form of a human being, as a woman, as an almana, was none other than Mesechta Chagiga that came to defend and advocate on behalf of this individual who devoted his entire life to Chagiga. Chagiga is what it says in the Medrash Tanchuma. The Mishneh Berurah quotes this. The Mishneh Berurah writes this in the Chavetz Chaim, and he basically tells you that this concept that the person has an obligation. Ashrei mi shebo likan v'talmudo biyado. There should be something, whether it's Mishnayis or whether it's a Masechta. There's something in your life where you can say, Ashrei mi shebo likan v'talmudo biyado. I know, at least I know something. You don't have to know the whole Shas. You don't have to be of Moshe Feinstein. But you got to at least come with something that you can be mekayim upon yourself. This is a very frightening type of concept. And this was called Olam Haba Mesechta. It's also in the Zohar. The Zohar's term is Man Diyodis Mesechta Chada. Yadis Al-Machada. A person that has inherited one Mesechta has inherited a whole world. So this is a beautiful concept which all over the Gedolei Yisrael talk about, the chashivas of this. Now let me give you, now I'll give this one of Maisa with the Gra. There was a person that went to the Gra and he bragged to the Gra, "I have an Olam Haba Mesechta. I have it." So the Gra, "What's your Mesechta?" "Well, Mesechta Sukkah. I've mastered Sukkah. I've learned it a million times. I know it inside out." So the Gra said, "Can I test you?" So he said, "Of course." So here was the questions, okay? Here are the questions the Gra asked the person. Question he asked him was, the true story. He said to him, "How many machloikis are there in this Mesechta between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda?" I want a number. How many times do Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree? Tell me a number. How many times in the Mesechta does Rabba and Rabbi Yosef disagree? How many times in the Mesechta does Abai and Rava disagree? How many times does Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Braid Rabbi Yosef, disagree? And the person did not know the answer. So then the girl says, "I'll tell you the answer." The answer, he tells him how many times this one, and then he tells him the answer then he goes on to tell him how many times in the Mesechta do we find an example of a Sukkah Psula. It's the gematria of Sukkah without the Vav. How many times in the Mesechta do we find an example of a Sukkah Keshera, a unique situation in the Gemara? It's the gematria of Sukkah with the Vav. And he went on to give all of these different examples to show the person, "You think you know the Mesechta, you know nothing." Okay, it just goes so hard. Okay, let me leave you, what?
Alright, it's just a story.
Let me leave you with one other thing. He says, we know, we have a question, when we have the Gemara's ask a question, what is better? Is it better to be a Sinai or an Oiker Harem? A Sinai is a person that knows Bikias, he knows Shas, he knows Shas from beginning to end. An Oiker Harem, he doesn't know Shas, he knows a few mistakes, but he's a Lamden. He's a Groysa Lamden. He's a Groysa Lamden. So the Gemara Paskins, a Sinai is more important. Because Sinai of Yosef, because Hakol Tzrichim L'Morei Chatya. Because you need a person that knows everything, and a person to be as a leader of a yeshiva or a community, everyone has different needs. You need a person that's a catch-all, he can relate to the common man. We once spoke about this, that Bisman Hazeh, you see that the Minig Olam today in the Olam HaYeshivas, it's not like that. You see today, at least traditionally, today to be a Rosh Hashiva, you just have to be well connected. But it used to be traditionally, who becomes a Rosh Hashiva? The biggest Talmud Chacham. It used to be traditionally to be a Rosh Hashiva, the biggest Amkan, the biggest Lamdan, the Oiker Harem became the Rosh Hashiva. That's how it was until recent times. Why? So the Mefarsh says, because today we don't need a Baki, we have Sfarim. Since Bizman Hazeh we have Sfarim, everything is printed, so if a person needs the Mori Chatya, you'll consult with Google. Rabbeinu Google became for us the Sinai. But Google cannot be an Oiker Harem. Google cannot be, artificial intelligence will never be what Chazal meant when they say in Oiker Harem. Google can be a Sinai, but Google cannot be an Oiker Harem, and that's why Bizman HaZeh, until modern times, he always looked for the biggest Talmud Chacham, the biggest Lamdan to be Rosh Hashiva. He points out over here something very fascinating, but Nikar Hadin, what's really better? The Sinai is Adif. But yet, Achar Me'ev Eshem, they ask a person in Shemayim, they ask him a whole bunch of questions. And one of the questions they asked him is Tulpalta Bechachma. What are the questions? Do we have the list of all the questions? B'shah Shemachnisin Adam Lidin Shoyalinoiso Nososo V'nosata Be'emuna. Were you honest in business? Next question. Tulpalta Bechachma. Were you mafalpel? This is the Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Pilpalta, were you mafalpel in Chochma? What's going on? The Gemara says that it's more important to be a Sinai than to be an Oiker Harem. Pilpalta, pilpul, is synonymous with Oiker Harem. So he says a tremendous chiddush. In this world, a Sinai is Adif. But in the next world, an Oiker Harem is Adif. Very shocking. That's what he says. And in the next world, what they want to focus on is pilpalta b'chachma. So just because the person has to have a proper balance, you know, proper nutritious diet, a balanced diet, you have to have a little agada. A person should not make the mistake and think, since the Gemara says, Sinai Zadif, I'll just devote my life to Daf Yomi. I'll devote my life to, it's very good. Sinai is Adif in this world, but you have to understand when you come to the next world, they're looking for pilpul. They're looking for a person that developed his mind, his analytical skills. A person that refined his way of thinking through the koyach of pilpul, which is the Indian of Oiker Harem. In this world, it's Sinai Adif, but in the next world, Oiker Harem is Adif.